Welcome to BIC Magazine's Industry Roundtable, the program where business and industry connect to share topics and ideas that move the world's energy. BIC Magazine's Industry Roundtable is brought to you by the BIC Alliance. BIC Alliance and its sister companies, BIC Magazine, BIC Recruiting, and IVS Investment Banking, help industrial businesses grow through marketing and sales, hiring the right people, and merger and acquisition services. Visit BICalliance.com for more information.
Hey, welcome, my friends. I'm Jeremy Osterberger with BIC Magazine. Today, I'm joined by Chief Operating Officer of Freeport LNG, Mark Millett. Mark is here to discuss the upcoming Industrial Procurement Forum at San Jacinto College on July 14th. And he's also give us an update on recent developments at Freeport LNG. Hey, Mark, thank you so much for jumping on board with us today.
Thank you very much, Jeremy. I appreciate the opportunity to visit, and I'm looking forward to the forum and breakfast on July 14th.
Well, Mark, let's do this. Let's get an update on current operations. You know, in 2020, Freeport LNG completed and started commercial operations of all three liquefaction trains. You know, would you kind of just summarize briefly the existing assets and maybe give our audience a little overview of the facilities?
Sure, Jeremy. We are a three-train liquefaction facility. As you mentioned, we can have the capability of liquefying up to 15 million tons per annum of LNG. And that requires a gas supply of about 2.2 billion cubic feet per day of natural gas. We are connected to multiple pipelines, and our customers bring that natural gas to us to liquefy. We have three liquefaction trains, we have three tanks, and we have two marine berths. Those marine berths can handle the largest LNG carriers in the world. We are very close to the water. Of course, all LNG facilities are going to be close to the water, but the time it takes for a ship to come from deep water to our port to become all fast is about an hour. So that's a very short transit time and allows us to turn ships around fairly quickly. We have an underground storage cavern for natural gas that we use in our operations. And I guess obviously the uniqueness or one of the unique aspects of Freeport LNG is we are an all electric motor driven facility. We have 975 each megawatt motor driven refrigeration compressors. So we are into ELNG, electric LNG. We are the only operating electric drive LNG liquefaction facility in the world. We are one of the very largest electrical customers to ERCOT in Texas, the electrical grid. So the combination of being motor drive, where our greenhouse gas emissions are 90% less than normal turbine drive facilities, plus ERCOT's gas or their supply of power is roughly 30% renewables in terms of wind and solar. So we are very environmentally friendly when it comes to ELNG.
Yeah, that's neat, Mark. I did not know that about the site. Yeah. So Mark, we mentioned the disruption, but what is the status of the Train 4 expansion project now?
Sure, yes, Jeremy. The Train 4, as anybody that keeps up with the LNG global market, you know that right now, LNG is a very hot commodity around the world, particularly in Europe, because of some of the things that are going on in the world. So everybody is interested in additional supply, additional capacity, particularly from the United States. So there are a lot of potential customers that are signing up capacity from the United States. And that then allows companies in the U.S. to go to a final investment decision to either expand their existing facilities or to build greenfield facilities. Now, our Train 4 is an expansion of our existing facility. A fourth train, it would be another 5 million tons of LNG. It will take 4 years to build, but we are in the process now of working with potential customers to sign up for our long-term LNG delivery contracts. We have all of our regulatory approvals. The Federal Energy Regulatory Commission, FERC, is the entity that approves our construction. And so those approvals are in place. Right now we are in the middle of competitively bidding out to potential bidders our EPC work, our engineering, procurement, and construction. So we have EPC contractors that will be bidding on our work, or bids are due towards the end of the year. We anticipate selecting a contractor and signing a contract at the end of this year.
Thanks, Mark. I appreciate that. So Mark, let's get into the Industrial Procurement Forum. You are our keynote speaker for the Industrial Procurement Forum on July 14th. You know, can you give us a little about what you're going to cover and what do you hope the attendees will take away from your presentation?
Sure. Yes, I do want to go into a little bit about Freeport LNG's history, how we started in 2002. We're a relatively small company and a very relatively young company. And we were going to build a regas facility. We did build a regas facility into 2008, never imported and vaporized LNG for purpose because of shale gas. Mm-hmm. And so we then turned the facility into a liquefaction facility. So I want to talk a little bit about our history, a little bit more about the facilities that we have, Train 4, as you brought up, and also talk a little bit about the global gas and LNG market. And of course, I need to talk about procurement and how that impacts us from our operations standpoint and also from project standpoint, not only around the costs that we're seeing as increases, but supply chain issues about getting things in a timely fashion for operations. And really all industries are suffering from that.
Yeah, I can't wait to hear, Mark, you make that presentation in mid-July. So I'm going to be moderating the panel of procurement professionals shortly after your presentation. So I'm excited about the day. So Mark, let's get into a little bit about procurement at Freeport LNG. You know, would you give our viewers just maybe a short overview of, you know, how your procurement department at Freeport LNG is set up, a little bit about your process? You know, if I'm a contractor or vendor looking to get involved with you guys, you know, what actions should I take?
Sure. Yes, Jeremy, there's really two pieces I wanted to cover. It's support of our existing operations and then our major EPC projects, EPC contracts and that work. For our existing operations, we spend about $15 million a month in goods and services. The primarily local vendors, we are in an industrial area. There are several other industries in this area, and certainly our proximity to Houston opens up those aspects of procurement to local vendors and local suppliers. So we try to support that as best we can, but we are a global procurement needs. Our equipment comes just from the very fact of where our equipment comes. It's worldwide, so we need worldwide procurement efforts. We do procurement in-house for our operations. We have our own staff that have our own buyers and expediters. We and warehousing, keeping our spare parts on site and around in the Houston area. We look at vendors and are adding vendors that supply both services as well as materials all the time. People that are interested in becoming one of our potential vendors, we look at financial, we look at safety performance, we look at delivery schedules, availability. How can procurement folks help us have access to materials down here that maybe they store for us that we pay to have stored somewhere else? So we take all of that into account in what we're looking at from an operations standpoint. And you can email us at vendor@freeportlng.com is a way to get on our vendor list and start the vetting. A particular area that is focused on these days is not as much is done by paper anymore. Everything's pretty well done electronically. So cybersecurity and how those efforts are handled by vendors and potential suppliers is important. For our EPC work, our major spend on major projects, that really comes through our EPC contractors. They are the ones that do the majority of that spend. We have an approved vendors list for the projects. That's based on our experience on prior trains 1, 2, and 3. We want to have the same vendors and suppliers for spare parts and for those kinds of things, just engineering drawings and documents that we have and supply, the amount of supply that we need to keep. So those vendors are pretty well set, but again, EPC contractors have preferred vendors that they work with, and we certainly will look at those as we advance through the project.
Thanks, Mark, for that quick overview of the procurement process at Freeport LNG, and looking forward to hearing more from you when you speak. So Mark, let's wrap up this interview with one other question on supply chain. You know, what are y'all seeing out there? What are the most difficult products and services to source, or just a general comment on supply chain challenges within Freeport LNG?
Well, from the procurement in general and supply chain in particular, it's components, electrical components that are in equipment and spare parts, not unlike what we're hearing in the auto industry and really all industries. And so I would think it's electrical components, number one, and then there's also specialty commodities, stainless steel pipe, valves, fittings, those kind of metals. Not only are there supply issues, but just cost issues, inflation, price changing. We get bids in, and even our EPC bidders will get bids in with validities of like 3 days. You get 3 days that this price is good for. So what we have done and what it's caused us to do is look at our critical supplies and our critical equipment and adjust what we call our overs and unders. How much material do we want to keep on site in stock? And so we've increased the mins that we have. It's really our min maxes. We've increased the mins that we keep on site. We focus on preferred suppliers, and then we just try to look out farther because we understand. I mean, a lot of it was COVID related. There are companies that just shut down and haven't come back. A lot of it is just getting things coming from overseas, shipping, transportation, customs, getting in the country, getting things unloaded, containers, shipping containers. It's just amazing what all has been impacted along the supply chain.
Well, Mark, I thank you so much for your time. And listen, you're welcome anytime to jump on a video chat with us. I really appreciate you jumping on with us.
Well, thank you very much, Jeremy, for your time. And I look forward to the breakfast on July 14th.
Yeah, can't wait to hang out. And look, Mark, too, as Train 4 develops, as y'all progress on that project, man, feel free to come on anytime, give us a status update. I'll certainly keep that in mind in the future.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Well, look, we'll catch up with you soon here on July 14th at the upcoming Industrial Procurement Forum and Breakfast, which, again, is going to take place at the Center for Petrochemical Energy and Technology at San Jacinto College. Again, Thursday, July 14th. Starts at 7, should wrap up around 10. If anyone out there is interested in learning more, please visit AllianceportRegion.com. That's the Economic Alliance Houston Port Region site, AllianceportRegion.com. Mark, it's been a pleasure. Thank you again. As always, we are grateful for our audience. Please like and share this recording with colleagues. And for more industry news, videos, webinars, and podcasts, visit BICMagazine.com. Hey, everybody, it's what we do together that counts.
Thank you for listening to BIC Magazine's Industry Roundtable. Log on to BICMagazine.com for industry news and resources. Industry Roundtable is brought to you by the BIC Alliance. BIC Alliance and its sister companies, BIC Magazine, BIC Recruiting, and IVS Investment Banking, help industrial businesses grow through marketing and sales, hiring the right people, and merger and acquisition services. Visit BICAlliance.com for more information.